You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
So we do have some updates from Ivory Coast, not Ghana. Just going to share two really short ones, and then we're going to get some pictures later because they haven't come yet, right, Andy? The pictures haven't. So just briefly wanted to say that our team arrived, which was nice, in Abidjan. So it's our first time flying directly into Ivory Coast, and they were greeted. Does this go down a little lower yet? I still feel like I'm super loud. Don't you feel I'm a little loud? There, that's better. Oh boy, updates are coming even as I sit here. They keep coming and coming. So Pastor Samuel and Mama Vera picked them up at the airport, which is awesome. Because usually Mama Vera, last year she stayed in Ghana and they met her later in Ghana. But so they both came and they had a little car trouble on the way to Yamoussoukro, or however you pronounce it. If anyone else knows how to better pronounce it. Mike McRae, you know how to pronounce it. Yamoussoukro. Yamoussoukro. Okay. So they had a little car trouble on the way, and while that was being fixed in the middle of the night, for their 2.5-hour drive, they arrived at 9 o'clock in the morning. But in the meantime, Josh had a chance to witness to some boys from the mosque through Google Translate and a tablet and share Jesus with them. And while they did not get to a place where there's enough language, you know, that they came to a place of receiving Jesus, they were very excited about that. And they are going to be, they met a bunch of the pastors and stuff, are going to be hosting the Kingdom Bible School here in, it's going to be our first Kingdom Bible School in Ivory Coast. And so for church this morning, they've already had church. Josh and Carly went to a house church led by a man named Pastor Jacob. Josh shared about running the race of our lives with Jesus, that he's there to help us through the obstacles we face. So the people were very encouraged by everything they heard. And that Pastor Jacob said that it was really an answer to their prayers. They had a chance to pray for some older women that lived nearby. One lady who had joint head and eye pain, she said it was the worst at night, so she would report back to Pastor Jacob if it was healed. Carly prayed for another woman who had a headache, and she said it was gone. And Pastor Ray, Pat, Rachel, and Audrey went to a CMA church, the one that's going to be hosting the Bible school. She preached about what it looks like to truly give your life to Jesus from Luke 18, the account of the rich young ruler, and many gave their hearts to Jesus there, and like give their lives fully to Jesus in that way at the church. So praise the Lord for that. So, and then they went to another church with Pastor Samuel and Mama Vera, and Pastor Samuel shared about what happened with Jeremias, who had gotten healed last year. And again, there was another offering for giving their lives to Jesus, and everyone prayed out together their hearts fully to the Lord at that place. And I don't know where Pastor Bill is because he has not made the updates. So he is there, I believe, but he did not. His church has not been written up and sent to me yet. That's what I know. So I'm going to turn that over to anyone else who has announcements, or Lawrence.
So Friday night, we have the Watch of the Lord. Can we say hallelujah? He's worthy. He's worthy for us to come out on Friday night to worship him, to pray. We need you. We need to come together as a family in this time and contend for the things that are on God's heart. And I can just testify that sometimes I feel very tired after a long work week, but still God has given me grace to come and sustain through the night. And if you happen to fall asleep, it's okay. But, you know, just come. Come and see what God will do. Come and see how he'll strengthen you and empower you to do that. And so it's a lot of fun. It's not boring. It's very amazing to encounter God through the night hours. And we invite the kids to come. They can bring their sleeping bags. But we want to come together as a church family and just stretch ourselves a little bit. Just even if you think, oh, I can't come. I just... I just challenge you in this moment, come for an hour, come for 2 hours. Just see what you can do, but God is worthy of something. So we invite you to come and join us.
Hello. We got one. That'll work. Do you want me to keep this on, off? Okay. I'll keep it muted for now so it doesn't throw anything off. Gift of Christmas, December 6th. How many of you guys, is there anybody here who has no idea what Gift of Christmas is, has never experienced that? Anybody? Okay, we got some of these, some of that. All right. Gift of Christmas, December 6th. It's our opportunity to bring the entire community of Canton into this house, which we do. It's like several buses, lots of volunteers. If you're interested in getting some information about where you can plug in for that, please see Amanda Bridenstine, who is not here right now, but will be. Or you can see Cynthia, because that's the safe bet. So if you have any other questions and Amanda's not available, go see Cynthia. Amen? I can use this.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess. It's not going to be as anointed. I mean, it won't be as good, but I'm just kidding. No promises. Okay, Kingdom Kids, you are released. All right. There we go. Come on, Holy Spirit, do something. Oh, Lord, take this mess and make it neat. We were praying up here, and Ashley had a word. She had a picture of lemonade, and she prayed, Lord, that you would just take lemons and turn it into lemonade. And I thought, that's my message. Just take this lemon, Lord, and do something with it. A couple of really quick testimonies. I found out last night that I thought this was kind of fun. 3 out of 4 of the brothers on my mom's side are all preaching at different churches this weekend, which I thought was like really unique. A couple of us don't do it regularly, so the fact that that's happening this weekend at this moment, while my mom is in Israel, I thought, there's something that the Lord's doing. And I was praying a little bit about that, and I want to encourage you guys that for those people who are contending for family members, I want to release this and pray over this real quick. Because of the 3 out of the 4 that are preaching this Sunday, none of us grew up in a Christian home, in a genuine Bible-believing home. And all 3 of us are baptized in the Spirit and relying heavily on the Holy Spirit in this season and in this life. And it's an incredible testimony. However, I do recognize, and I shared this with my mom a little bit via text last night, that the heart of the Lord is still recognizing that one that you're contending for. And so I just want to encourage you guys as a body to rejoice in the victories that we have and that we see, and to continue to stand on that, and to continue to celebrate where you have seen the Lord move. But is there anybody here who's contending for a family member in this season who believes that they're on the precipice of a breakthrough? And if you're not, if you don't have the faith to believe that they're on the precipice of the breakthrough, why don't we stand as a body together for that? So I'm just going to release that right now over the body. Father, I thank you so much for the power of testimony. I thank you, God, for the testimony, the manifestation of where we've seen you move through and in people, Lord. And we grab onto those promises and we release them over the people that we're contending for, Father. We desire to see great breakthrough. We desire to see your presence evidence in their lives, Father. And we know you're there. And we're just asking for that next breakthrough to happen, Father. So we rejoice and we celebrate in those areas that we've seen you break through. We stand on that place as a promise and we just say, do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again, Lord. So I thank you, Father, that you are constantly and continuously moving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Contend for the little ones and the big ones. All right. A couple other testimonies real quick on my heart. We have a team in Ghana. That is a testimony. 99% of the team is there. And if you have a heart like Jesus, you're wondering, where's the one? And we are kicking him off to a plane tomorrow, right? So Mr. Summers is headed to Ghana, Africa tomorrow. Cote d'Ivoire, sorry. Thank you. Headed to Cote d'Ivoire and then to Ghana, Africa. And one of the reasons he stayed back was to celebrate his wonderful wife's 40th birthday. Today. 40 today. That was another testimony. I'm so grateful. So there was a birthday party. There were people. And just to be surrounded by other believers in the faith who've stood with and contended and have, and I've been so fortunate to be surrounded by amazing people such as yourselves who stand on the promises of the Lord and aren't shaken by circumstance all the time. You guys are not going to love this message. It's a little bit too candid and transparent. I'm stalling because I don't want to give it. Let me get the testimonies out real quick. So I realized last night as we were celebrating Nikki's birthday how grateful and blessed we are to have people in our lives that we can stand with for such a, like, this is not some, we haven't been friends for 2 or 3 years. We've been friends for a long time. One of my other friends pointed out recently, like, we're creeping up on 20 years of being friends with, I am, at least. I know some of you guys have been around even longer. But I was like, 20 years? Like, that is a long time to have good friends that know enough about me to want to walk away and don't. Like, it's not like those surface friendships where you don't know me and you just kind of are acquaintances. Like, you guys, some of you, not all of you, maybe you guys will, some of you will know a little bit more after today. But the fact that it's just a friendship that's remained, I'm so grateful for people like Nikki and Andy and many of you. And it was a real treat to be able to celebrate that yesterday. So, and then this is the last testimony. I have to say this. I was at the Edge last night and I already told them, but I want to share with you guys. Stephanie Benson and Haley, I was blown away. Like, they shared last night on intimacy with the Lord. And I can't one of the marks for me personally of a great message is no matter what the message is, I walk away wanting to be with Jesus more. And I absolutely felt that last night. I left and I was just like, just want to be in his presence. Like, it was so good. And there was just an impartation. It was awesome. I can't say enough about it. I was so proud of everything that they had to share. And it was evident that it wasn't something that they just kind of taught on, but something that they were experiencing. So I know we recorded it. if you guys get a chance, I'm sure they're already listening to it in Cote d'Ivoire because she had to send it. So, all right. Lord, we're grateful. We're thankful for your presence. We're overwhelmed by how good and you are. And Father, we desire more than anything your presence. So Lord, we ask that you would touch this time, that you would open our hearts, our ears, our eyes, in every way, that it would be about you and your presence. I want to steal a prayer that I heard recently that I thought was really fun. Extend your hands to me. Lord, bless his message. Do not humble him this morning. Amen. I stole that. I thought that was so funny. Do not use this time to humble me, Lord. I know nobody's agreeing with that. That's fine. Whatever. So I've been praying about what the Lord would want to release, and I shared a little bit yesterday with a couple people. I was like, oh, I'm praying, and I'm not hearing anything. And then on the drive here last night, I felt like I heard what the Lord wanted me to release, and it was one of those moments where it was like, oh, something else. That can't be it. Lord, give me something else. And he hasn't yet. So here I am. It was funny. I woke up this morning, and as usual, you know, I've got notes and everything. And what I usually like to do is I pray and I ask the Lord for anything, and I get these notes and I write them down. And it tends to be a bunch of scriptures, just kind of all over the place. And then I wake up the next morning. I'm like, okay, Lord, if you want to throw it out, just completely throw it out. Whatever you want to do. And so I continue to pray about that. And when I woke up this morning, I know we're close to winter, which is exciting for me because I love to ski. But one of the other marks of me knowing it's wintertime is my house apparently gets very dry, which means I get bloody noses. And I got my first one this morning, which is not a big deal. It just means I need to turn my humidifier on. But as I was in the restroom this morning, I got a bloody nose. I go, and it was like in the middle of my prayer. And all of a sudden I thought, oh no, I'm supposed to be preaching on the blood. I was like, Lord, that would actually be easier than this message. But as I continued to pray, alas, it didn't happen. So along with end of the year, we're coming into winter. For me personally, where I work, and I don't know if any of you guys do this at work, but we're doing like end of the year assessments and reviews of employees. Any of you guys go through that? Anybody? A couple of you guys? So we just started doing this last year in a more formal setting. And so there's a list of people, and I kind of have to go through all of them and just kind of evaluate where they're at and what's going on, what our goals are for the next year. And as I was doing this, it actually became, it felt more like every time something would come up that I thought, we need to kind of address this or fix this or change this, it felt more like an indictment upon myself than the person. And what I mean by that is the only reason this person's not doing this properly or in what I view as the appropriate way to be doing this part of their job is because I haven't taken the time to sit down with them and walk them through it. And so as part of my role in work to do that, I started kind of taking a step back and evaluating what it is that I'm missing at in order to equip other people. And so I think because of that season that I'm in, I've been going through this process with the Lord, and I want to share just transparently, candidly about kind of where I'm at with some stuff. And I shared very briefly with Cynthia a couple weeks ago about some of the things that I'm just kind of battling with the Lord and struggling with. It's not sin. Let's clarify that. But just something that I'm just kind of going back and forth with the Lord. And it extends from 1 Corinthians 13. How many of you guys are familiar with that? I mean, most of us, right? If you've ever been to a wedding, Unless it was a frontline wedding, then we choose like every other verse. We're like, we try to get creative. We're like, we want people to know we know the word. So I'm going to find something in Leviticus that says marriage and love. But if you've been to another wedding, you've heard 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter. And so I've been reading this, and every time I read this, there's this question that's just been irritating me like crazy lately. And this question, I keep going to the Lord. I said, am I loving people as Christ would, or have I gotten really good at religious acts? Where is my love evidently supernatural? And so there's just been this battle lately where I look at my life and I think, I've done some really cool things. And I've done like some things that people would talk about that think are like, wow, that's pretty amazing. But can we pull up 1 Corinthians 13? We know it by heart. Okay. We'll skip that part. We're going to skip the word of God because everybody here knows it by heart. But for those listening at home, I'm going to read it. So I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So when we start thinking about the supernatural love of Christ, this is the standard by which God's measuring us. And I look at this and I think, where is my life look like this? You know, I read a note in the Amplified Version in verse 1. Verse 1 says, if I could speak with all languages on the earth and angels, but didn't love others. It says, by loving others, it's defined as a profound thoughtfulness and unselfish concern for other believers, regardless of their circumstances or station in life. And so when I look at my life through this lens, I think there are things that I'm not so, if I'm totally honest, I'm not sure if my life is that filled with supernatural love. And I don't want this to be something where we're just beating ourselves up about something, but if it's a genuine true conviction of the Lord, that means he's highlighting this in order to get to something else, in order to get to a place of breakthrough. Or he's highlighting it in order to step into the next level of revelation of what he wants. And so I'm going back before the Lord, and I guess the merits by which I've measured myself in the past just seem to be falling short now. And I don't know if that's just because it's a new season, if it's because the Lord's wanting us to take things from glory to glory, and he's challenging us to increase. But I know some great people who do amazing things in the earth and incredible humanitarian work that don't know Jesus. So that's not my standard. I can't measure myself based on that. But what does it look like to have supernatural love? So I want to explore that a little bit this morning. In the Amplified Version, I'm going to read just verse 7 in the Amplified. It says, love bears all things regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Yeah. Does anybody know why I didn't want to give this message at this point? Like, I just, like, I was like, Lord, I can talk about it. I just don't know if I have an answer for it. Ephesians 4, the Lord highlighted this. Ephesians 4:31, it says, to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And so I'm taking these two verses and I'm thinking, all right, let's get that measuring stick out. Oh God, I missed it here, here, and here. And so I'm looking at these verses in this passage, and I'm taking this and I'm trying to take that through the lens of the love of Christ. And I'm just, there's times when I go before the Lord. Let me put it this way. Have any of you guys ever read a Bible verse and you're like, oh yes, the fire of God. Like you feel it. Like you're just excited. Anybody? Show of hands. Somebody in the house? All right. If you haven't, just keep going before the word. It'll get there. And how many of you guys have read the word of God and you see a passage and you're like, ah, I'm not quite sure I'm saved. All right. Every hand in the house. It's funny. You guys are so willing to admit that one. You're like, yeah, I'm not sure. But I think, and I'm going to give my personal opinions, is that there's times when those types of verses get highlighted in our hearts, not because the Lord wants to condemn us. How many of you guys know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Like, I have to go to that verse a lot. Like, I spend quite a bit of time just going back to Romans and saying, okay, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation, just none, zero condemnation. Just got to remind myself again. I know Cynthia's mad at me. I shouldn't have done it that way, but there's no condemnation. There's grace. So if I know the Father's heart is to not condemn me, why is this so heavily on my heart? And I think one of the reasons is because the Lord is okay highlighting these things to us in order to carry us into breakthrough. Like, you can't have breakthrough without resistance. Does that make sense? Like, without resistance, there's nothing to break through to. I mean, it's without resistance, you're just kind of walking. But in order to create an atmosphere of breakthrough, there needs to be a sense of tension. And so when these kinds of verses come, and I'm like, oh God, I don't know if I'm loving supernaturally. What in my life can people look at and say, that is a love that goes beyond a normal person's capacity? And if that's not the earmark of my life, what do I need to do to get there? Now, this is the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation is going to say, oh, I can't do this. I'm a horrible person. And then you stay there. You're just stuck dwelling in that. Conviction says, I missed this mark, but God's got something better for me. And he's highlighting it because he doesn't want me to stay here. So when that conviction sets in, and I'm believing that it is this morning, it is for me, so I'm hoping to drag you guys along. What then does the Lord call me to do to step into that place of supernatural? And so this morning, because I got the passages and I got some notes, and last night I'm praying like, God, I can identify with the conviction. I get it. Fine. It's been there. Like, great. Conviction. Where's the hope? Because I started writing down all of these passages, and then I look at it. I go, where's the hope? I don't see the hope yet. And I know it's there, but I'm not seeing it. And so he started highlighting a couple of other passages, and I want to walk through an Old Testament example. And I think I know I've spoken on this before, and it's something that we're familiar with. So in the Old Testament, there was this prophet Samuel, and he was just like, he was the prophet of prophets, and he anointed kings. He anointed Samuel Saul, when he was anointed to be king. He anointed David when it was his time. Well, Samuel was king. Sorry, Saul. I'll get this right. When Saul was king, he was in battle, and Samuel told him to wait for me in order to make the sacrifice. And Saul, what happened was he got so wrapped up in his circumstances, and he saw people starting to kind of, like, he saw his army starting to get nervous or pushing, and they were waiting for Samuel, and he hadn't arrived yet. So Saul took things into his own hands and made the sacrifice. And of course, how many of you guys have ever experienced this? Is that the moment you take that initiative to do something because you're tired of waiting, the thing you were waiting for happens. So, funny story. I won't go too long on this. We were in Japan and on a mission trip, and this had to be a long time ago because we were together, which means we weren't married. Because I've never gone on a mission trip with you when we've been married. Aww. So we were in Japan, and we were like at times leading the team, and Pastor Bill was kind of doing some other stuff on his own. And it was funny because every time, like, we prayed about making decisions, but every single time, and I know I've shared this with a couple of you, every single time something came up where Cynthia and I were both kind of like, I don't know what the answer is, Pastor Bill would walk in, like, instantly. Like, there weren't phones where we were, like, texting him. I'm pretty sure there weren't webcams saying, like, where he's just standing outside saying, oh, they're in trouble now. Like, it just seemed like every time a question would come up that we had no idea how to answer it for the team, he would just walk in the door. And so it got to the end of the trip where it seemed like, oh, we don't know the answer. Where's Pastor Bill? And then it worked, like, every time. And so there's this example here where Saul takes things into his own hands, and he makes a sacrifice. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 7. It says, meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal. Giggle? That's not the right one. What is it? Gilgal. I have it spelled giggle on my notes. It was late. Meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. But Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, "Bring me the burnt offering and peace offerings." And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Sammy. Saul went out to meet and welcome him, but Samuel said, "What is this that you have done?" Saul replied, "I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said that you would, and the Philistines are at Mishmash, ready for battle. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal." I got it right there. "And I haven't even asked for the Lord's help, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you come." Now, before I get to Samuel's response here, there's some really interesting things here to note that I think kind of are reflective if we're looking at it through the lens of 1 Corinthians 13. Now, Saul's response is justifiable in the sense of, like, we're going to battle and I'm making a sacrifice to the Lord. How many of you guys know, like, making the sacrifice to the Lord is not the hindrance here? It's good to make sacrifices to the Lord, right? We're all on the same page there. But here's the thing. Sacrifice done outside of the heart of God is sin. And we see examples of this in Isaiah. We see where God basically says, I'm tired of your sacrifices. Like, they don't mean anything. It's the heart of what's behind the act that moves God. And so Samuel, we're going to change their names, make it easier for me. Saul's response to Samuel, he says, Samuel asks, what is it that you have done? And his response is, I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said that you would, and the Philistines are at mismatch, ready for battle. Saul's response was based on everything that he was seeing happen around him. So he was no longer, how many of you guys have done this? And I'll raise my hand first. You can find a spiritual sounding justification for your actions and know that you were wrong. Okay. Like, that is my bread and butter. I am so good at that. If we are using natural circumstances to dictate spiritual actions, we are going to miss the mark every single time. We cannot use the things that are happening around us circumstantially to dictate what the Lord has called us into. And so if we take that action and go back to 1 Corinthians 13... It says in verse 7 that love never gives up. I'll read the Amplified. It says, love bears all things regardless of what comes, believe all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. That if I am going to have supernatural love, it is going to be consistent no matter what the circumstances are. So that's the first thing that the Lord has really been putting upon me, is that if it's supernatural love, it's not swayed by what's happening around you. Like, the Lord is not freaking out because my kids will not clean the room for the sixth time. So my justifiable natural response is not impressive to the Lord. Stop laughing. So here's the next thing. It says, Samuel's response, he says, after Samuel explains why he did it, Samuel's response is, how foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. This seems super severe. I like to think about this, put it in perspective a little bit. Like, how many of you guys have ever heard of David in the Bible? All right. For those listening at home, only one third of the hands went up. We're going to encourage everybody else to spend a little bit more time in their Bibles. David, like, we know who David is. My kids can tell you all about David and Goliath, right? You know, we know the Psalms. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even people who don't read the Bible know that. That was David. David is, like, super famous in the Old Testament. And it actually, this is interesting, because when it talks about, like, it refers to David generations later, like years and like way later, it refers to David. What if the original intention was for Samuel or Saul to be that person? I mean, look at Samuel's response. He says, "You have not kept the command of the Lord your God. You had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." Can you imagine, like, not knowing who David was because Saul was so famous? It says, "The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel, but now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart." Who's the man after his own heart? David. Like, this is almost this right here is the spiritual moment, the mantle lifted from being Saul, the kingdom that knows no end, to being David, the father of generations. But the interesting thing to me is Samuel got wrapped up in the circumstances and out of fear made a sacrifice to the Lord. Sorry, Saul. I can't do this. I can't do this. Let's talk about David. Let's go over here and talk about David. His name starts with a D. I won't mess that one up. David, if you're familiar with his story, at one point in his life, gets wrapped up in the circumstances, commits adultery, and murder to cover it up. So over here, Saul, circumstances, fear, sacrifice. Over here, David, circumstances, fear, adultery, and murder. If you're just looking at these two sides, which one do you want to be on? I want to be over here with the guy that's response out of fear is sacrifice. But here's the interesting thing. If you look at 2 Samuel 12:13, this is David's response. So when Samuel confronted Saul, and I know you guys have heard this from me, but I'm going to bring it all back to 1 Corinthians 13. When Samuel confronts Saul, Saul says, "These guys were moving. I had to go. This is it. We had to move. You weren't showing up." When David's confronted about his actions, David's response is, "I have sinned against the Lord." But the Lord, and Nathan replies, "Yes, but the Lord has forgiven you and you won't die for this sin." What's the biggest difference between Saul and David? The repentant heart. And I know we talk about this in this house, but look at what happens when you choose to respond out of your flesh versus responding with a repentant heart. You lose your kingdom, you establish your kingdom for all of eternity. This is why I didn't want to share this message. If we are not willing to go before the Lord humbly and repentant, that's fine. But you're going to be the one that loses out on everything. Like, this is not God's punishment for you. This is God's grace upon you. So if we go back to 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read it again. It says, "If I speak of the language of earth and of angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy," and I want to highlight this, And if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And then you jump down to verse 7. It says, love never gives up, never loses faith, always is always hopeful and endures through every circumstances. The words that are in this are so definitive. It doesn't leave any room for error. Like, it's not saying love will endure most of the time. If this is the standard, then why am I okay with my love enduring only when I'm having a really good day? So now the question becomes, what do I do to get from where I'm at to where I believe God wants us to go as sons, as daughters, as believers, as a body? And so I keep laying this back down before the Lord, and I say, God, I understand that there's something more. I have not arrived. None of us have arrived. I hate to say it to you. If you feel like you've totally arrived, then you're even more off the mark than you think. So God, what does it look like for me to move in a supernatural love towards the people around me? And it's funny because it's just like that passage when you're reading about love, it highlights all the things that love is not. I feel like I get stuck there. Like I already know what I'm not. I feel it. I'm all over that. What do I do to get to I am? Like, how do I move from this place of, like, recognizing, like, here's the thing. I believe that love in its most genuine, real form, it is powerful, is life-changing, but is also convicting. Like, we cannot say that we love somebody if we're not willing to bring truth. So another thing about me, you might not, well, maybe some people already know this and I just am catching up about me. Like, I hate confrontation. I don't like it at all. I'll do it when I think it's like necessary or the Lord convicts me so much that I can't figure out a good way to get out of it. But I don't always love having to confront people about stuff. And the weird thing is, like, I'm kind of the opposite on the other side. I'm totally fine with people coming to me. If I know them and I know their heart is genuine and they bring something to me, maybe Cynthia's speaking in a couple weeks. She'll say something differently. She'll be like, no, he's terrible at it. I think I'm okay with it. And granted, it just depends on the moment, I guess. But I don't like giving it. Like, but how do I get myself to a place of supernatural love where I'm okay bringing conviction in love? And what does that look like? And so as I'm praying more about it and I'm going before the Lord, I think my phone's dead. What time is it? Are we okay? Yeah, we're good. And I'm going before the Lord and I'm just crying out to him and I'm trying to figure out, like, there's the moments where that conviction sets in. I was like, God, I've been doing this I have known Jesus for over 20 years and I feel like I am not loving. Like, it's the most basic thing. It should be. And I'm sitting here and all of a sudden the Lord's highlighting areas where I'm like, I don't know if this is supernatural, but I don't want to be okay just staying right here and realizing, like, how many of you guys know that this is a terrible message if I stop here? Can we all agree on that? So Lord, give me an answer quick. we can all agree, like, just stopping there and saying, I'm a slug, like, I don't know how to love, God bless you, have a great week. Troy will be speaking next week, he'll be addressing the rest of it. Like, that's not, in my opinion, a good message. I would not be leaving here thinking I want to spend more time in the presence of the Lord. That's not a victory. So I'm in this place where I'm like, God, I recognize and I know you want more. What does that look like? What does that genuinely look like for me? And so he brings me to this other verse that at the moment didn't totally make sense for me as to the connection. But it's in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9 and 10, and I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with it. It says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 13, and the last verse, which everybody is familiar with, of 1 Corinthians 13 is verse 13. It says, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And so I'm going back before the Lord like, God, I don't understand what it looks like to be supernatural. And what he put on my heart that he spoke to me, it's found in verse 9. It says that for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. What does supernatural love look like? A part of it, I would submit to you, is the ability to keep moving forward in it. And it's not just that I'm going to love this person and they spit in my face and I'm going to go fine and go over to this person. But it's being willing, as long as the Lord leads, to continue to go to that person. And this is where I fall epically short of the call of God, because my wife will attest, some people I have a very hard time going back to with grace and love. And yet, that's where it starts to look supernatural. How many of you guys know anybody can reach out in love once? Can I be honest and very challenging? Reaching out in love once is not supernatural. It's not even challenging, because the heart is revealed based on their response. So if I'm going to reach out in love once and they're going to say, I don't want it, and I think you're crazy or stupid or whatever, you know, whatever things that we come into, how many of you guys know that that is one of the reasons, and maybe you guys don't have this issue and it's just me, that's one of the reasons it's so hard to witness to family. They're always there. Like, always. They don't go away. I mean, always. That's what supernatural love looks like. The ability to not grow weary. To keep moving forward. And that doesn't have to look pretty. That doesn't have to look like you're joyful and overflowing with happiness about every opportunity, but you're willing. I would like to say that this morning the challenge is to make yourself willing. To take what the Lord has deposited inside of you. To not grow weary in doing good. And to continue to carry that gospel, that message of grace and mercy and love to the people that he puts in front of you. And then there's one other thing. I want to begin to wrap it up with this. I'm not going to say last thing. There's a quote that I want to share. I know Pastor Bill usually opens with it, but we're gonna insert it here towards the end. It says that we shouldn't be surprised when we don't understand what a God who says he surpasses all understanding is doing. Yeah, it's so simple, and yet you're kind of like, oh. Is anybody familiar with Bob Goff? He's got some really, he's a great storyteller. Really fun story. If you get a chance, he wrote a book called Everyone Always, Everybody Always. And if you're not a big reader, just go to the last four chapters. I don't normally do that. Read the whole book. They're really fun stories. But the last four chapters of that book totally blew my mind. So he says that we shouldn't be surprised when we don't understand what a God who says he surpasses all understanding is doing. How many of us fall into that trap? Like, we get upset because whatever's happening around us doesn't make any sense. And then all of a sudden we feel entitled to know or understand why things are happening. But it's very clearly stated that he surpasses all understanding. So if he surpasses all understanding, by definition, there has to be something. Like, you cannot be a God who surpasses understanding if we can understand everything. Right? I mean, I'm making sense. So as I was praying about where's the hope in this? Like, I'm not hitting this, Lord. I know I'm missing the mark, but where's the hope? And the next thing that he showed me, and I'll begin to end with this, is that he said the hope and the answer is in the very thing that led me to the despair in the first place. It's in 1 Corinthians 13. So when I'm looking at that, it's the measure of love, and I realize I'm not hitting that, but who is hitting that? Jesus Christ is hitting that every single time. He is the standard. So now my lens switches from I'm missing this mark, but look who is hitting this mark. This is who Jesus is to me. Now all of a sudden, I recognize, like, I am going to probably fall short of this again. I don't believe that this message is going to be like the mark for my life where I never miss. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to look back 20 years into the future and say, I remember that message that I gave and I just never missed it after that. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, pray for me. Maybe. Cynthia would really appreciate that. But Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, whose supernatural love was so astounding that he hung on a cross for a crime he did not commit and said, forgive those people. That is the standard. Like, that is not the pie in the sky, like, oh, that's him, this is me. Like, this is the standard that he calls us to, but when I fall short of that, which you might, Jesus is making up for all of that and more. Which means when I fall short and I don't do it, Jesus, his love is bearing all of it regardless of what I've done. That he's believing for the destiny that's in my life, looking at the very best that's in me, and his hope was remaining steadfast during all the times that I kind of messed up, and it's enduring through every one of my weaknesses. So Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whose love is infinite, now covers every single thing that I've missed. And all he's looking for is a willing heart that just says, I'm just going to keep trying. With everything that I have, I want to be the David. I want to be the one who's going to be quick to repent. Like, the error of that is not necessarily the action as much as the lack of repentance after it. Have you guys ever heard that there's an expression, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up? It's not biblical. I'm not saying that. The Lord has built in a factor that allows us to make mistakes. He did not build this system that requires it to be run based on us being perfect. In fact, just the opposite. So he's well aware of all of the shortcomings, but he's taking all of that and he says, I am going to give you so much grace that you will be empowered to experience breakthrough. And that's what you were created for. So to wrap up this morning, you know what I've realized is that more than anything, in order to get this right, it has to come from Jesus. There is nothing, there is no way in my own abilities. I am really good at a lot of things, I tell myself. But then you become friends with people like all of you, and you're all better at me than something. I can be really great at a lot of things. There is just no way. There is no human way to hit that standard. That's what makes it supernatural. I had a... This is one of the things that I love and hate about this house. Is that ability to push me to stretch and step out of my comfort zone. And what I mean by that is that people in this house are not satisfied with you being where you're at because they know that there's more. I was in, I'm pretty sure I've shared this story before, but, We were in Hong Kong. We had a China-Hong Kong trip. So there was a team that stayed back in Hong Kong and a team that went into mainland China. And in Hong Kong, it was like the most stretching thing that I'd ever experienced in my life. Just so things had fallen through with one connection. And so we started just doing like street evangelism. And if you know me, like that's not my natural gift. Now, hear me. Anybody can do it, and everyone's called to do it. So don't use that as an excuse. But if I'm being honest, it's very stretching for me just to get out and just randomly strike up a conversation with strangers about Jesus. But every time that I've done that, I've seen something supernatural happen. And so we were in Hong Kong, and we did it every single day. Like, I am not... Who was there? There are a couple. Yeah, right? Am I lying? I mean, every single day, we were leading the team. I was co-leading with Darlene, and like every morning, we're like, what are we going to do? Like, there's nothing else to do. Like, we have no more connections here. Everything's falling through. Let's go prayer walk and talk to people about Jesus. Like, me and Darlene. Why wasn't McCray leading that trip? I was like, what are we doing? And so and you could tell. Like, we were a week and a half, 2 weeks. I don't even know how long it was. 6 months. It just felt like it was forever. It just kept, like, every morning I was just laying before the Lord, like, God, open the door for something else to happen. But we were faithful to, like, every time we stepped out. And then the last night before the China team got back, like, it just blew up into this huge, like, ministry opportunity. And, like, we were like sharing the gospel, and there were dancing and dramas, and we had translators for the first time. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. We had no translators. But like we were faithfully stepping out every time. And so the last night, and it's just like the glory, like, and I remember walking, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but we were walking back from the ministry and everybody was just like lit up on fire. Like, oh, that was totally awesome. Jesus is King. Which we didn't, like most days we're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, we got through it. But we were like lit on fire, so excited. And I remember leaving, and there was this man on the street who was completely out of his mind. I mean, tormented. It was totally demonic. Like, on the floor, like, banging his head, and just, and in the natural, it would look terrifying. But in that moment, there was just such a presence around the entire team that it was the easiest thing just to go up and share the love of Christ with him. Like, the easiest thing. Like, I was trembling going up to kids that I thought were, like, teenager enough to be able to speak some English and trying to figure out how to have a conversation. But in the glory, in that moment, there was such compassion for this guy. It was so easy just to walk up and share love. When we are willing to step out and stretch ourselves, we get ourselves into a position where we are able to see God move in supernatural ways. But we have to be willing to step out continuously, faithfully, demonstrating that supernatural love. And so I'm convinced the only way that we're going to be able to do this supernaturally in the Lord is if we are covered in his presence. And so this morning, afternoon, whatever, I want to invite you guys just to take a minute, just to come up front before the Lord and just lay yourselves before him. Because this love, this could be a great message. You could be like, wow, that was really entertaining or funny, or hey, I didn't fall asleep. That was a win. But if you walk out not longing for the presence of God to touch you in a way that brings you to a place of supernatural compassion, then it's all for nothing. Then it was a 45-minute, hour-long clanging cymbal. I don't want that. I don't want to be that clanging. I love that expression because I can identify with it. I feel like there's times where it's just like, I'm just making words here. But if I just take it back before the Lord, he will touch you in a way that brings out a supernatural manifestation. I could say the exact same words, and there you will have an incredibly different reaction if I'm saying it in my own natural power versus if I'm saying it under the anointing of God. The exact same words. Like, it does not matter. I can repeat a message verbatim in the anointing and out of the anointing, and it would have completely different impact. I want a supernatural impact, and the only way we're going to do that is to take it before the Lord. So I'm going to invite you guys to come up front. I want to just take 2 or 3 minutes. I think I ended early enough where you guys have time. What time is it? It's 12:27. We got at least 3 minutes. 45 minutes. We have an hour and a half. But I want to go before the Lord. I want something supernatural that takes us beyond the place of the clanging cymbal, that takes us beyond the place where we're just naturally reaching out to people and then walking away, not seeing a change. But something supernatural that says, God touched this moment. God touched me in a way that allowed me to love supernaturally. How many of you guys know when you are touched supernaturally by God, you are no longer afraid of being rejected? And when you're no longer afraid of being rejected, you can talk to anyone. You can go before anyone with a supernatural love because you are no longer worried. You know, you recognize who you are as a son, as a daughter who is loved extravagantly with a supernatural love. God, I want that this morning. I want that today for each and every one of us, Lord, where we cry out for your presence and for your anointing to touch us, God, that it's more than a message, that it's more than a Sunday, God, but that it's that longing to encounter the king's love. That very thing that David recognized that he had a revelation of that allowed him to step into a place of repentance and established his kingdom forever. supernatural love. Holy Spirit, come. Touch each and every one of us, Lord, that we would see, that we would know who you are to us. That 1 Corinthians love, that love that is extravagant, that is unshaken, that love that endures all things. His love for you will always endure. It will never fail. Never failed. God, your love will never fail. Ever. It does not matter what the circumstances are. It does not matter what the situation is. There is nothing. It goes so far beyond our understanding. There is nothing that you can do to lose that love. So this morning, God, as we sit here, as we cry out, as we long for your presence, Father, just remove any distractions. Remove anywhere that the enemy is trying to bring condemnation. And allow the freedom of the Holy Spirit's conviction to move us into a place of breakthrough. God, you highlight these things in us because you're not satisfied and you have more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we cannot do this ourselves. Draw us to that place, God. Draw us into that revelation of who you are for us. And let us never be okay settling for a standard that is lower than the one that you set for us. That we would strive, that we would move towards your presence in all things. That we would be able to carry a supernatural love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I'm so grateful for sons and daughters in this house that are willing to supernaturally love. That we would encourage one another, that we would strengthen one another. That we would never grow weary in doing good. That we would never grow weary. That we would see the manifestation of the things that you've called us into. That we would never grow weary of doing good. That is a supernatural request. So I thank you, Lord, that each and every person here has a supernatural inheritance to be able to walk in that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Grace, 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 grace upon each and every person, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your presence would go with each and every person. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord. Father, and I just thank you. Lord, that you are refreshing and reviving, Lord God, our hearts, Lord, where they have grown weary. Lord, especially for our family that we've been contending for, Lord God. I just thank you, Jesus, that your presence is here, Lord. And this morning you are reminding us and you are reestablishing our hearts, Lord God. And that you're teaching us and showing us, Lord Jesus, how we can continue to move forward, Lord, in those relationships, Father, of the people that we've been contending for, Lord, that we've been loving and hoping for, Lord God, for them to have an encounter with you, Lord, and to know you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Father. So this morning, I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are washing over us, that you are reviving and that you are restoring, Lord God, and that we are just coming before you, Lord, and being strengthened by your Spirit, Lord God, that anywhere where we've been lacking or missing or empty, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and dump all bitterness and all self-righteousness, Lord, and dump all religious sacrifices, Father God, at your feet, Lord. And that this morning, Lord God, we're just coming for you because we want a genuine, authentic encounter with you, Jesus, that will fortify us, Lord God, and reignite us, Lord Jesus, to not grow weary in loving the people that you have put before us, Lord God. The family member that is next to us, Lord, the person that is in the faraway country, Lord Jesus, and everyone in between, Lord God. Father, anywhere where that's been taken or squeezed out or just put aside, Lord God, I just thank you that this morning you're putting it front and center, Lord Jesus, and we are becoming aware of your presence in your heart, Lord God. So I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your beautiful, powerful, gentle presence, Lord God, that is washing us clean this morning and is also reviving hope, Lord Jesus, for the one that's been in the tomb for 4 days and is starting to stink, Lord God, that we think is beyond hope, Lord. This morning you are saying they're coming forth in my name and by my Spirit. Don't let go. Don't let go and don't stop loving them. Don't stop loving them in the supernatural love that we just heard about this morning. Don't stop loving them. And Jesus teaches individually what that means for each circumstance, what love looks like, Lord God, for that person in that moment, in that anointing, Lord Jesus. Anoint us this morning, Lord, to love like we never have loved before, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Father. Father, and as Lawrence spoke out, that it starts with you, Jesus. Us realizing that that is your love for us. Father, so I thank you that this morning you're reminding each heart, each mind, each will, each emotion, each soul, Lord, each body, Lord God, that it, you love us, Lord God, with that supernatural love. So we thank you, Lord, that we receive from you so that we can freely give. Lord Jesus, we receive from you, Father, so that we can release it and give it, Lord God. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus.
Just want to encourage everybody that one of the ways that this kind of message was highlighted for me was because I've seen the evidence of supernatural love working through the people here. And this message is intended to encourage and spurn people on further, that I do see supernatural love. And the only reason I can become so aware of where I have missed the marks at times, not only by the Holy Spirit highlighting it, but also because I see it evident in people's lives around me. That being able to recognize, rejoice, and give thanks for those things is what allows us to stay in that anointing. So thank you all for the way that you love.
And to speak to that, I was actually thinking about this just a few days ago. But what I was remembering, just the season that I was with my mom, a lot at Cleveland Clinic, especially the season before we took her back to Arizona, and there was a couple weeks where I had a lot of family members coming to see my mom. And I was remembering that all of you fed us, fed my family, so I didn't have to focus on trying to feed everybody and hosting on top of trying to take care of my mom. And you can, like, you drove it to the Cleveland Clinic every day, and you guys cooked, and you guys loved us, and you served us in such an amazing way. And I know I've said thank you before, but thank you again for demonstrating your love in such a powerful way. It ministered to my extended family. It ministered, obviously, to my family. It ministered to my mom to know that her brothers and sisters were being taken care of when she couldn't do it. I just remember we're all crowded in my mom's hospital room, and we're all eating, and the nurses coming in, and, oh, there's a party in here. You have food? Where'd you get that from? And we're like, church. And they're like, oh, that's a good church. Yeah, it really is. So thank you guys. As Lawrence is just saying, you know, this is a body that loves supernaturally. And for me, that was one of the most recent times. And I was just thinking about it a couple of days. I was washing the dishes. I don't know. Just thinking about my mom. And I remembered that. And it was so... Your act of love was just... It was life in that moment for my family. So thank you. Thank you very much for that. And everything revolving that whole season in my life. but it just came to mind again, just as Lawrence is sharing this morning about supernatural love. It was really, it was Jesus in the form of really good food. So thank you.
All right. We started testifying about all the ways that you guys have loved. The service will go long, and I'll never hear the end of it because I went longer than the pastors. Do we have pictures? We've had some pictures being texted in and updates. And then you guys headed out. God bless you. Andy, we love you. We're praying for you. Don't forget the camera and everything else. Brussels Airport. Brussels Airport. Mama Vera with Josh. You guys know Josh. That That was on the way to the airport. What? Yeah, that's America. I mean, it's all part of the trip. Troy, do we have captions or anything, or just? This is Frontline Worship Center in Ohio. Ohio, America. So that was before they took off. And that is the Brussels Airport in Brussels, the heart of Europe. There we go.
For the old ladies from the testimony that we shared about.
And Pastor Mary Pat preaching in the church. As we shared. And again, Pastor Samuel next to Pastor Mary Pat. They are the leaders of Life Christian Center, our main partners in Ghana. And we've planted churches with them in Togo to the east and now working in Ivory Coast. So this is all these hands raised, giving their hearts fully to Jesus, I'm assuming. This is in Ivory Coast. So this is the church that they're ministering at. Again. And Mama Vera has got the microphone. So again, Pastor Samuel and Mama Vera are longtime friends, and a beautiful lady off Mama Vera's shoulder. Indistinct so that she doesn't overshadow anything else. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing. So another place here. I'm guessing this is where Pastor Bill was, maybe. So Pastor Bill and, Josh. Pastor Bill and Ashley went to a conference with Pastor Elijah. There were different pastors and members from different churches and ministries, and they traveled from a long distance away to come in for this conference. So Pastor Bill shared about the dunamis power of God. He shared about the 700 names of Jesus and names and titles, and also sang over them. The enemy is done, and they were able to share testimonies about just how the Lord had kicked the enemy in the teeth. And, they had a really good time there just encouraging that church. So, again, Josh and Carly were praying for older women, is what it said in the update. So, Pastor Bill in wonderful Ivory Coast native wear, apparently. Quite the Togo. That's the first that I've seen him in that particular outfit style. So there's Ashley and Pastor Bill. So this must be the conference where people are coming in for training. So, and I think bend the knee to Jesus would be my guess. All right, we saw that one already. Is that all of them, Angela? Oh, here they are. So I think that's just remember to keep praying for them. If you didn't get a chance to sign up for a day to pray and or fast or both in the above, I think the sign-up sheet's still out there. If you did sign up, please make a note in your calendar to do that, to be praying. But you can pray for the team every day no matter what. So, Father, we just thank you for these testimonies so far from Ivory Coast, from their travels. We thank you for the boys from the mosque. Lord, that they would come to know you, Lord, that they would surrender their hearts to you, Father. Thank you for all those who said yes to you or gave their hearts fully to you today in some churches and conferences and places where they are at. And Lord, we thank you that you're the one who, you're the God of peace who crushes Satan. So thank you for doing that, Lord, everywhere this team goes. And Lord, that it be just spreading out from there. And Father, here as well, we thank you for what you're doing in Ohio. And just thank you for the word that you gave through Lawrence this morning that I will receive later. And we just bless your name and your precious and wonderful name. Amen. And if she's still here, there's a birthday girl in the house. Nikki's gone, but is Amanda gone too? Both birthday girls are gone. Well, I will sing to them anyways. Happy birthday to you. Or not. For the recording, Let's sing for the recording, then they can listen to it. All right. Oh, wait, Zach's birthday is this last week, too. So we've got a representative here. Zach had a birthday this last week. And all right, so let's sing happy birthday to Zach. And Amanda and Nikki can hear it on the recording. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Zach.
God's love brought
you here. God's love brought you here. Happy birthday. God bless you. God's love brought you here.
Amen. Bless you guys.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.